Welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Alice. Today, we've got a really fun guest with us, a big hero and favorite of Suzanne and mine.
Yes, Kara Mann is with us. For those of you that don't know who she is, look her up on her website, Instagram. What's your handle really fast?
Let's see. It's Kara Mann Design and then Kept Home.
Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about both your lines. You're a product designer. You're an interior designer. You established your design firm 2005 in Chicago and extended to New York in 2011. You've been featured on Goop, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Arc Digest, Elle Decor, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and so many others. Couple of like just your titles that I loved. I love that you are self-prescribed punk rock classicist.
I love that.
She's so cool.
I don't know where that came from, but okay, I'll take it.
Go
I like
for it.
It.
And if when you look her up, you'll be like, yeah, she is. I want to hang out with her on the weekends. Also, the Wall Street Journal called her the spark plug in the world of design, which we need that. I think every industry needs their spark plug and someone that's going to rattle it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're here to do. So we're so excited that you're here. And yeah, we'll get into it and start talking about all the things and like how you started.
Yes.
Cool.
Can we get into that? Will you tell the people a little bit about how you started?
Yeah. Well, I always tease that it was a very, very windy road to get where I have been, where I am today. So I studied fine arts at Tulane in undergraduate, and I kind of graduated and I was like, wait, I'm not going to be an artist. Like I didn't have that kind of talent. And so I kind of scrambled and I was like, what do I want to do? And a friend of my dad's was in the advertising world. And so he's like, hey, why don't you work as a stylist? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And so literally ended up like cold calling a bunch of photographers and like finding any job I could go on and assist people. And so I was in that whole world of styling and doing, you know, like photo shoots and film and all that kind of stuff. And I got a little deeper into that and started to do more interiors through styling for interiors for magazines. And I realized that that was really my true passion. So I ended up going back to school. I was in school at night. I was working like 700 jobs a day, like just like a maniac. And then got out of school and jumped into a partnership, which was amazing, with someone that, he was older than I and kind of needed some help. And we partnered for about 4 years. And then just went out on my own. I always knew I was going to be an entrepreneur, and started my firm in 2005. And yeah, I think it's been awesome mayhem. Like I've never had a plan. I'm just like, okay, what are we doing next? So, it kind of keeps it fresh and keeps it fun.
I love the description of awesome mayhem, because as interior designers ourselves, we know exactly what that feels like inside our body.
Yes.
And you try to be all buttoned up and prim and proper and act like you know what's going on, but at any given time,
when there's a mosh pit happening inside you.
Literally, you're just like, oh my God. I was just on a job site and we were talking about that, like, I was with an architect and he was mentioning like when he doesn't sleep, and I was like, oh my God, it's like that night before the install, every designer's at home, just like in bed, like wide eyed, like, oh my God, I hope everything fits in the house.
Yes.
Like, I hope it makes it in the door or whatever, you know? So it's always a little bit of a nail biter.
And don't you find like install is just like, it's not the right word. It sounds so calm and proper and has these tall, straight letters in it. And it feels like it's all together. And what it really is we're moving people into their house that we just
literally
helped create. And we know 10% of it's going to be a claim, which means it's broken. Yeah. Something's wrong. Yeah. It's not right. And then we have to come up with a beautiful poised answer for, don't worry, this happens all the time. We're going to get you a new one. It's only going to take 9 months today to get a new one.
So. Yeah, exactly. Or like you plan, like you've planned, you've worked with them for a while, you know, you wait this long period of time for everything to come in and then something doesn't quite look right. And you're like, okay, now I got to do some zhuzhing. And you're like, okay, now I have to explain to the client why that didn't really work. And I moved that over here. And like, I always explain, I've learned through the years to just say like, things might change a little bit at the install so that people aren't like, Why is my chair over there? You know? And you're like, because it didn't quite look the way it looked in my head or whatever, you know?
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. It's freestyling. That's what we should call it. It's not an install. We're freestyling.
We're freestyling. Yes. I like that. Definitely. I like that.
Oh, so your favorite palette is black and white. They tell us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've evolved a little bit. To some neutrals. No, just kidding. I like a soft black and a warm white. Like, I think when you say black and white, it can feel so contrasty and harsh. And I don't think any of my interiors are that really. Like, I like muddy colors and I like muddiness to my palette. So with my blacks, I always like to mix a little bit of brown. Yeah. And my whites are always like very warm, I would say. So,
yeah.
But
so
it's
more organic.
It's tougher, it's warmer, it's more approachable. Like, you want to sink into it, you know?
I love that. So good. I think that's what's so fun about your line Kept. As we were like looking through it, we're like, of course. Well, you should tell the people what Kept is before I give it away. Tell them.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us when you came up with this.
Well, Kept. I've been thinking about Kept for so long. I mean, honestly, for a long, and actually it kind of came from installations, right? So you're like, you work on these projects with clients forever, you do the big install, and then you come back like a couple of weeks later and there's like a ton of, you know, bags from Container Store. And then you open up the pantry and it's like a purple mop and an orange bucket. And you're like, wait, what? Like, how did that happen? We've spent like years orchestrating little every single move in your house. So like, to me, everything is designed. So why shouldn't, you know, the sort of utilitarian products in your home be well designed and be beautiful? And it really stemmed from the home that I grew up in and my mom and the way she sort of kept our home. And I'm partners with my brother on it. So he came from a background of product development and design, but for more like places like Target and Bed Bath & Beyond and sort of that realm. And then I was kind of coming from the design world and like the luxury end. And we were like, we've got to figure out a way to put these two things together. So we started a couple years ago. It's been about 2 years. And it's been so interesting. Like, it's fascinating, the whole manufacturing end of things, finding those right products that feel really good and authentic and something that, like, I always tease, like, we had the same dustpan my entire life growing up at my parents' house. Like, it was the same dustpan we had all the time. I feel like now people just throw everything away. So the whole point was like, sort of buy once, buy well, live with it, take care of it, take care of your things, like take care of your tools, basically. Mm-hmm. so that's sort of how it started. Family business.
So beautiful. So it's a line of cleaning supplies that are the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. You probably wouldn't mind if they're out, not even hidden in a closet. And I think you feel really beautiful and proud using that feather duster. Oh, I want that now. Yeah.
I mean, I have to admit, I walked in, I was having dinner with a friend of mine and it was, I think it was her birthday. And I was like, oh, I'm going to bring her a feather duster. And I just put a big bow around it. And I walked into the restaurant and handed it to her. And I was like, that is the best present.
It is.
It's kind of elegant, but cool and kind of funny. So yeah. And then our beautiful broom, our handmade broom, which I swear I sweep more than I ever have since I got that broom.
I know, it makes chores so much more fun.
Yeah, it does.
And not an eyesore when a friend comes in.
I agree. I mean, that was kind of it. Like, you can leave it out. It should be beautiful. And I hope people are loving it the way we are.
Well, it's stunning. So pretty. The black and white and natural palette goes with everybody's decor. And it's beautiful. And you'll want to keep it forever.
You even have aprons and just all manner of goodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. We're hopefully adding, we're launching a few things in the next couple weeks and adding to the collection soon.
Ah, so exciting. And you also launched a collection of leathers in 2011 with Moore & Giles.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yes. With Moore & Giles. That was fun. If I'm remembering correctly, I think I named them after like my past boyfriends or something like that. Like, I made a like joke about all the names and like, but it was fun. Like, it's a great company. I was super into leather at the time. I thought they were doing really, really, really edgy things with leather. So it was that was my very first ever like collab. So that was fun.
That's cool. What a feather in your cap too, because they really do make the best leathers.
Yeah.
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 I think Suzanne and I are most familiar with Kara through her lines with Baker and McGuire. It's a most extraordinary line, really, truly the best line of furniture in all of Market at High Point Market. And we go there every year. Kara Mann's collection is extraordinary. And you're like, where is she? Who is she? I want to meet her. This is amazing. Like you really, it's just so original. The way it's constructed is the very best that you can construct something. And you just really do an extraordinary job. Are you still doing interiors? Or are you just designing product right now?
Oh no, we're going, we're definitely still doing interiors. We're going gangbusters. I have an office. We're now, in Chicago. Our home base is in Chicago. I've got no other offices anywhere. I'm born and raised in Evanston, which is a suburb, just north of Chicago. So I'm kind of back home. We have about 30 people in the office. So we are doing projects throughout the country. We do, you know, residential work. We're doing also commercial work. And then also the product design, which has been really fun.
That's so cool. Oh, speaking of commercial work, did you do hotels too? Did we read that?
Yes. So we, I feel like that's like, or maybe it was just me, but like, it was like always a dream. I was like, I want to design hotels, you know, it was like something that I had to do, you know? So, so really when I opened my New York office, in 2011, I had been awarded the Chelsea Hotel project, which was huge. And it was kind of an amazing project. Just like the essence of New York City and just its history, that it was such a storied hotel. We worked on the project for about 5 years under two different development companies. Like we ended up not being able to see that project through. Like the second development team kind of fell apart. So never got to see that come together, but it definitely like brought other projects in the door and kind of kept that going with the hospitality world. We've worked with Rosewood, Kimpton. We're working on a Kimpton hotel right now in Denver. That is our latest with them. So it's been fun. It's a whole different world, you know, like it's just, it's like the polar opposite of, of residential in a way, but fun nonetheless.
Ah, oh, that's so amazing.
Which do you prefer?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do of all the things that you do?
Yeah. That is a good question. I have a little bit of ADD. Like I like to do a lot of things, a lot of different things. Like what I'm most proud of is that I feel like when I was doing residential and started doing hospitality and commercial work, I was able to sort of bring that hospitality vibe or bring that residential vibe to hospitality and commercial. And like, I feel like they're always sort of looking for that. And then what we learned by doing this bigger project was really how to manage a budget, a schedule, like, cause you're working in these huge teams. So we were able to combine that with our residential work, which has made us really efficient in what we do. And I like really pride myself and the firm on, you know, being able to run a good project. To me, like that's the best, you know, like the design is amazing, but also running a really good project and having a really happy client, feels great. I love the product design. Like it's just so fun. It's like, it's probably the freshest thing for me. But I will say I've come back, like I kind of came back around, like I got deep into the commercial work and then I was like, not maybe as focused myself on residential, but I'm back at residential and it feels so good. Like it's just like we're doing so many beautiful resi projects and the budgets are great and the materials are great and the clients are great. That's probably my favorite thing is really like, I would say so many of our clients end up being friends, you know, or people that we really care about because you're in their home for a very long time. You get to know them and know their family. And that's been such a cool thing about what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. We interviewed Ray Booth a while back and he said it best. I think he said, it's like one of the most intimate things that you can do with a person is design a house for them. And of course you're going to become super close with them because you know everything about the way that they live and function and how they sleep and like why they don't sleep or whatever. So it's like you're their, it's like you're their hairdresser, you know? Like,
no, literally you everything.
Yeah, you do.
And you see like their kids grow up and like,
it's a huge privilege, I think, to get to know somebody that way. And I mean, who you decide to take on and take on that project, I'm sure they're thrilled to get to work with you and to see your vision come to life in their home. And it's just a really cool thing. I think the life of a designer.
It is. It's very cool. It's a big responsibility too, right? Because like, it's like someone's like home is so important to me and my soul, and I'm sure you guys, and just so like having that responsibility to do that for someone that may that might not have that in them and like create that sort of life, I think is so cool. It's like it's an honor, for sure.
Okay, so for the people listening that are all design enthusiasts, I think people always want to know, where do you draw inspiration from? Like, how do we get started? What do, how do you and your team get the party started? So for some of these people that may not use interior designers, but want to hear from the best.
Well, I think when I start a project, like architecture is very important to me. We do interior architecture as well as design. We don't do it always on every project, but really understanding that the architecture that you're working with or the architecture that you're designing and like how that plays into things. So I don't just look at designers or, you know, interiors for references. I look at architects, landscape designers, you know, all that kind of stuff that creates the whole package, I think is really important. I've always been really driven by fashion. I love fashion. It moves faster than interiors. I almost look at fashion to see where they're shooting. I'm like, okay, what's in the backdrop? Like, what house is this that they're shooting in? Or, you know, to kind of get inspiration. I think that that's a cool way to do things. I'm trying to think, you know, really knowing the like location of the project that you're working on, like what that is and what that means and what the light's going to be, like really getting into the, like what that the natural palette might be. I think that's really important to get inspiration from. But I would say the biggest thing that I look to is probably fashion or inspiration.
Do you have a favorite designer?
Let's see. I love, Eddie Salon. I love, everything that's going on at Celine, like, you know, from Phoebe Philo to today. Who else do I love? Balenciaga, the Gucci stuff. I like, it's a little theatrical for me, but I do like it.
Especially lately.
Especially lately, I'm like, ooh, I'm not that cool. Like, I've definitely lost that edge a little bit. But but like it's
pastel brights.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think it's a fun reference for sure.
Definitely. That's great. We think that too. I mean, when people sometimes get stumped, we're like, talk to us about what's in your closet. You know, show us your favorite shoes. Tell us why. Like we want to feel the leather. We want to see that bag or... I don't know. There's some things that people don't have a design vernacular oftentimes when they're working with a designer. So they don't know exactly how to describe in a way that will understand it. So sometimes visuals will really help them, or we continue to see what they're showing up in, what they're wearing, what other choices they're making to help inform the palette. You know what I mean? So I
would say like, we got to design to something like a color that you look good in, you know, like you want to feel really good in your interior. And I always ask about like hotels that people might've stayed at, like what hotel did you like and how did it feel? And like, we have a client right now that, he said one of his happy places was, the Crosby Hotel in New York. And I would have never in a million years have guessed that for him. And I was like, wait, what? And it just totally set the tone in a different way. And like, so it's an easy reference to pull when people don't have that vocabulary, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's like trying to put together a puzzle, and some of those clues, you're like, wait,
yeah,
awesome. We got a whole new, I don't know, just like you opened a hatch and you got a whole new path to go down. That's
Pandora's
so fun.
Box. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, give us a brief description of what your home office looks like.
I don't have one.
Good for you.
Yeah, shouldn't bring work home.
But I don't, like, it is literally just like my computer on my dining table right now is basically what it is. I have to admit, I've always been an office girl. So I like when COVID hit, I was like, and I can walk to work. So I was like, I'm going to mask up and I'm just going to go to work, and no one was in the office. So it was like amazing. So I didn't really have to do the home office thing too much. Cause I like end up dilly dallying. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go try this on, or like, I'm going to go bake cookies or whatever. So like, I'm just better off in an office environment. So really my home office is either in my bed with my laptop or the office.
Yeah. How lovely that you can walk to work. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a luxury that is.
I've kind of always set my life up that way. I think it works for me.
Yeah. You're a city girl. So it probably has always been pretty easy.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about travel. Where do you like to travel for inspiration?
Europe for sure. I have never been to Portugal. I want to go to Portugal. I've kind of gotten this new love for it. I need to see it with my own eyes. I mean, I think Europe mostly for me, and I think I like to dig in. I like to get to the offbeat neighborhoods, no matter where I am, even if it's in like a US city that I don't know well, like I want to know what's the latest up and coming neighborhood, and, either stay there or move around, you know, if I'm staying in a specific city, to get to know a city a little bit better. I'm definitely, like you said, I'm an urban girl. So I tend to go to cities, more so than, rural environments, but, I kind of split, like I love everything French, but I also love everything Italian. So I guess I would be torn between those two.
I love that.
Yeah.
Favorite coffee table book right now?
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't know that I have one right now, which is a really bad answer, but,
do you have a book? Speaking of books,
I don't, but I've got one brewing in my mind.
I feel like you should maybe. Have one.
Yeah. Your voice would be really fun to read.
I think so too. And I want to see the visual that matches your voice. So get on that, would you?
Okay. All right, girls. All right. I'm putting it on my to-do list.
Yeah. And make it big. I love a really big book. Yeah.
Even the styling on the Kept website of just like the inked arms, like with the feather duster, I'm like, man, she's cool. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
be off the hook. Yeah.
Thankfully our photographer that day, was pretty cool and had some sweet tats. So I was like, that killer. Like you have to have the feather duster in your hand.
So cool. do you have a favorite book though? Not even if it's new, that you find yourself just like, I gotta open that thing up.
I feel like I have not opened a book in so long. I feel like I do everything digitally now. Like, it's like, what books do I love? I was thinking about Walda Perrone. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, but her book, of her house is just so beautiful. And it is more of a country setting, but like the textures I always like reference in my head. Joseph Durand, I love his stuff.
Here's another one, zagging in a whole different direction. Yes. What scent are you crushing over right now?
Anything by Rado. I'm obsessed with that company. I'm obsessed with their branding. I love Mojave Ghost. Is it Mojave Ghost? I think it's called. Uh-huh. It's just so sumptuous and beautiful, and I love it. I'm also a Chanel number 5 girl, like always have been, always will be. And then, Guerlain, my mom always wore Samsara, and I sort of picked it up, and it's just a classic and I love it. It's my go-to. It's very, I love things that are kind of powdery smelling and really fresh. Yeah.
I like that. That's great. Okay. What influenced you to get to your point of view?
I think it's, You know, I think as you get older and you get a little bit more experience, and like, I think when you're first starting out, so for any young designers out there, like you're trying everything. You're trying to figure things out and like what works and what doesn't. And almost getting to the point of being like, I don't know if I can say this, but fuck it. Like, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, like this coming out of me, like that's the best feeling when you're just like, that feels good to me. It just, so that's sort of my point of view. It's just like, feel it. Like, I get trend, but I don't want to follow it. Like, and that's because I'm trying to be, I know I always get this tagline of being rebellious, but it's just like, you have so much room to be creative, you know? So just let it out. Yeah, it comes from within.
I think it's being authentic.
I do too. Yeah. And I think that does come with age. Cause then like, you know, your mind, you trust your instinct. You don't care what people think about you like you did when you were in your 20s and 30s. And and you're just like your own person and you've grown into her. And you know how to talk to people. You know how to get results. Yeah, it's a
I used
really
to think
cool
about thing. It more from like what someone else was going to see versus what I was seeing and putting out into the world. Yeah. And I think that once that shift happened, I was like, oh, it feels so much better.
Beautifully said. Yeah. That's really a great answer. I love that. Okay. People will always want to know, what is your design process? Like, you know, for us, I'll give you a second to think it out. We always start from the ground up. So we start with the most amazing rug. It's the biggest piece of art in the room. And then it kind of sets our palette. We start to throw fabric at the rug. You know, we kind of understand it. So we're always looking for like the best rugs we can get our hands on. And then we build from the ground up. That's our process. After we get to know the people, of course.
And architecturally, set the tone too.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say for me, it's very much the architecture. Like I like to really make sure that that's all harmonious and working together. So, and I would say I'm a total rugaholic too. Like I completely get that approach. You're like, when you find a beautiful rug, that was like completely came from my mom too. She was always searching for like the perfect rug for her living room. It was just like, cute. She was constantly changing rugs out. It must just have been something that happened in my life. But I think I'm not as specific where it's like, it's a rug to me. It could be a fabric. It could be, I once did a presentation for a client based on all Alexander McQueen dresses and like those informed each room. So like it set the tone and the palette. So I think I like to think about architecture, you know, like geographically what's happening, my client. And then I think I go into, well, I will say for me, I love it when a client, I like to dialogue with my client a lot to get to understand who they are and what they are. And I always say like, you have to pull some references for me. Like, and if they don't have references, I'm like, here's a stack of magazines or look at this thing and pull some images because I want to know what they see. And so for me, it's sort of getting into their head and into what they see and what they gravitate to and how I can take that and turn the volume up or quiet it down a little bit or guide that in a certain way. So I think my process fluctuates in a way on where I pull that first inspiration from.
I love that you're looking everywhere and that you're really interrogating them to find out where that inspiration should come from, you know?
Yeah, I do think that's important. That's very true. I feel like, because I'm also not a designer who's like, this is my look and like, here's what your living room looks like and you get one presentation. Yeah. I'm like, you got to give them a little choice. Like I'm not living there. They need to live in there and have a say in it and have a voice in it because people become more invested in the outcome if they have a little bit of a voice in it. So then they become more passionate about it. And that makes me feel good as a designer.
That's great advice. I like that a lot. Favorite piece you've designed?
Ooh, that's tough. I love, let's see, there was I'm going to forget the name of it for Meguiar. It was like this low slung leather wrapped chair it's just beautiful. I love it. I want to lounge in it at all times. So that was one of my all time favorites. I designed a chandelier, for Jean de Marie. They had asked like 10 designers. I think it was their 10 year anniversary to design a piece for them. And I designed this chandelier that was like based on this honeycomb idea, and it was this beautiful glassy thing, and they named it the Kara chandelier. And I still kind of love that because it was like a challenge for me, and they were really helpful in how that design came about. There's so many things.
I know.
It's hard to pinpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. We just specified your dining chairs. They remind me of like a kimono in the back, the way that the weave crosses.
Oh yeah.
Like, are they come in natural or black?
And yes.
Yeah. We're putting them in a house in Dallas.
And they're nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. So
beautiful. They needed a statement chair, and he loves all sort of Asian influences. And
oh, cool.
I felt like that chair was exactly it. Yeah.
I always tease about it was from the collection with Baker and the cane dining chair. And I was like, that thing, when we were designing it, I was like, there's no way that this is going to get produced. Like, it was like a little bit out there. It didn't quite like it. I was like, we're going to get into the prototype and it's going to be a total bomb. It ended up being the biggest seller of the whole collection. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, it just came off. It was like meant to be. It just wanted to be out in the world.
Yeah,
so it was a good almost. One.
I love
yeah,
that.
It designed itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting like smoked out of my.
We also design product, and we have a cocktail table called the Luca.
And oh, pretty.
I almost pulled it so many times after the drawing. And then I was like, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to feel right. They're not going to get the finish right. I don't know. They'll get the detail right. I think it'll be too perfect. We went to like hand carved, and a million times I almost pulled it. And then I was like, whatever, we got to just see what the factory will do. Came back bestseller by a mile.
Bestseller.
It inspired a dining table, a side table, a column, like, it's like
so
the biggest
good.
Family we make is the Luca family now. So I agree. I feel like you don't cut it. You got to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these artisans that are making it off of your drawings and, you know, your dimensions and everything else. And you're like, please bless it works. And sometimes it
doesn't.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
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 There was one piece that we designed for Baker, and it was like, it was a stone top, and we wanted it to feel like a pebble, you know, like that had been like washed up and the edges were all soft. And so our drawing that we sent was just like sort of squiggly lines. It came back literally cut as like squiggly lines. I mean, it's like just talking about the interpretation of an artisan, like you're drawing to an artisan. It's like, sometimes it's like right on point, and then sometimes it goes so haywire. You're like, oh, I totally see how you would have interpreted it that way, but that wasn't what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a language barrier too, where you don't speak their language, and
totally. Definitely.
Okay. So, people want to know, what does your home feel like, and what are the important steps to curate your style?
It's interesting. I feel like my home, the feedback I get on my place is that it's very warm, and it's people like being there. Like I like the process of design to sort of be perfect. Like, nothing's perfect, but like the way I live, there's nothing perfect about it. Like, my dogs get up on my sofa. My kitchen is like, the kitchen table's in the middle of the kitchen, so you're kind of cooking around the table, and it's like, you know, it's more dynamic, it's like more casual. But everything in there is very thoughtful. Like, my home is very collected. I think that's really important. And sometimes it's hard when we're working with our clients and there's like a finish line to a project, you know, and like, so you have to get everything done. But when you have the opportunity to collect over time and let things kind of filter in the way that they're supposed to, I think that really makes for a beautiful interior. I tease, like, the rug that's in my living room, I think I must have tried like literally probably like 40 rugs in there. It was like, it took forever to find it, but once it did, it all clicked, you know? Uh-huh. So, but I like homes that feel relaxed, like different ways to have dialogues with people, like a loose seating grouping. So you can like sit and chat, you know, with one person one way, and you can turn and start chatting with someone the other way. Like, mm-hmm. just feeling really dynamic in this space. And art, I think art is critical. And I have a dear friend who is an art consultant who has helped me with my collecting over the years. And I think that that's really key too, is to make sure that you've got things in there that fill your walls and, you know, speak to you or speak about you, I guess.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like that.
Okay. We look through like even coffee table books, most of the ones that like we crush on the most are when they're highlighting designers or artists' homes. And they're all like that. They're great collections, you know? And so honestly, most people, when they come to us, they don't have any collection. So I think that that's honestly like the best feedback we can give them, right? Yeah. Is to just figure out what you're passionate about and start collecting that thing. And that will drive so much of what your identity is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can evolve over time. It should evolve over time. Absolutely. You know, like even when we kind of set, even when you get done with a like in quotes with a project, you got to go back again. You know, you're like, okay, we're gonna, like, everybody needs to take a break. Let's get this all installed. We're going to come back. There's going to be another layer, you know, like, so it's that layering that I think makes what you're talking about, those artists and designers' homes, feel very special, you know, and that has to happen.
Yeah. And complete authenticity, which is, I think, something that's void when people are doing their homes because they're just so influenced by their neighbor or their sister or their mother.
Yeah.
And they forget who they are, you know?
Also, I think some people, like, it's not in their makeup, genetic makeup. So it's hard for them, you know? So it's like, who are they, like, you know, or who am I? How do I express that? And so it's not something that comes naturally to them. So relying on someone else to do that, it's harder to fill those layers in. So I've learned out throughout the years being a designer, like, we sort of set that, cue that up at the beginning of a project where we're like, you know, here's the big push. Then there's an accessories layer. Then there's a housewares layer, like, just so that they know that there's like all these different layers that go into art, you know, that make a home feel complete. Yeah, so
definitely. I love what you said about your seating and the different angles, because I feel like in the beginning, when we were first starting design, it was like, make one big, beautiful, great room with a huge seating area. And then the more parties you go to, you realize that it's not one big, large conversation. It's all these little intimate conversations. Yes. There's seven conversations going on in one room. And so really, you don't want one huge seating area. You want a pair of chairs together that could turn. And, you know, right now, motion, I think, is one of the largest categories that's performing really well for a lot of the upholstery lines. And so chairs that swivel, or a small enough chair that you can pick up and, you know, twist to the other side. And it's a ton of conversations. And I think if you make the room look that way, it feels more organic and more acquired and more possible to accommodate, you know, the way that this house is going to buzz. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can move furniture around, you know, like, I love, like you can like move it around. And so to have that opportunity, I like that you said that, like, you pick up a chair and you turn it and like do that, like, make you like feel comfortable, you know? Definitely. Like, I think that's the thing sometimes that gets lost is like, at least for me, like, I just want to feel comfortable and warm and cozy and, you know, that there's like a richness of life in a house.
And sometimes even the space planning of a room, when we're doing that, we just look at it and we're like, it looks like the room is having a conversation by itself. You can see the different characters play out and you can hear the party in your head. And
I love that. Rooms. Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. Okay. We feel bad. We're taking up so much of your time. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yes.
This is a question we ask all of our guests that come on the podcast. And it is, how do you, Kara Mann, define luxury?
It's such a tough one. It's sort of like, I don't know. I think maybe we just touched on it. It's like a good party, you know, it's like feeling like jovial, feeling good, feeling happy, feeling rich from within, you know, like luxury doesn't need to be expensive. Luxury can be about an experience or like, you know, so just to me, luxury in terms of interiors should be the comfort, like the warmth and the comfort that home should provide. It's like a safe haven. It's a place that you can go be yourself and relax and be with your family and have your friends over, you know? So to me, that is luxury. And not feeling so precious, just living life.
I love that. That's great. Oh, you're the best.
So good.
Yes. Thank you.
Talk for another hour.
I know. I'm so like, fun. What else do we talk about, girl?
So great. Thank you for spending this time with us. You're such an inspiration to all. And those of you that want to check Kara Mann's workout, again, go to @KaraMannDesign. She's KaraMann Design. And she also has an extraordinary line through @BakerFurniture and @ThisIsMaguire. Both really extraordinary showrooms that are to the trade, but you can go to their Instagrams and just drool over all of her work. So thanks again, Kara.
Don't forget about Kept.
Yes.
Definitely go to Kept.
Thanks again, Kara, for joining us. If you like our podcast, give us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or topics you want us to talk about, just email them to DearAlice@AliceLeanHome.com. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.